So.
This is Global Patriot Radio.
Hey, welcome to the Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the Don of Dissenting Discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call-in number tonight in every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that no-pork-eating American lover, Al. Good evening, Al. How are you?
I am terrific, doing great, and right where I want to be. How are you doing?
I am doing well, thank you. I am doing well. It's January the 24th. We're already at the end of the month in the year 2022. It's flying by, and in some ways, it's a painful fly with what's going on in the world. But some positive news there. If you've watched any of the PGA golf this past weekend, what a tournament in Palm Springs, California. Yet Hudson Swafford took charge of the American Express PGA tournament yesterday afternoon to win by one shot. Swafford shot an 8-under-64. It was powered by piping a drive down the middle on a par 5, 16, like 342 yards, then hitting his approach shot with pinpoint accuracy to like 8 feet. 8 feet on a 543-yard hole in two shots, and then he drains the putt for an eagle, and he never looked back. He stepped up on the tee in 17. The 17th hole was a par three, and it's a difficult par three. Guys were knocking it a little bit over the green past the pin, and it was bouncing in the water. There's water surrounding the green, This guy hits it within 19 feet of the pin. Then he drains the putt for a birdie. He picks up three shots in two holes, and he seizes control of the tournament. It was absolutely a fantastic play by Hudson Swafford. It was really cool to watch somebody just absolutely take control. And it wasn't the big household names, you know, like the Tiger Woods, the Dustin Johnsons, the Phil Mickelsons. It was guys who've been on the tour for several years and some rookies who played really well. So it was fun to watch. So Hudson Swafford joins an exclusive list of players, including Johnny Miller, who won the American Express tournament for a second time, multiple winners. So did you watch any of it?
Absolutely. It was phenomenal. Third PGA win for Hudson. Outstanding. Now on hole 15, I got a test question, a quiz.
All right.
He was 195 yards out on hole number 15. What club did he hit to get on the
green,
like you said, within a...
I would say he hit either a 6 or a 7 iron.
7 iron. You people who don't play golf, that will have absolutely no relevance at all whatsoever. But a 7 iron going 195 yards is unbelievable. That's a par for the course, no pun intended. Except in this case, it's a birdie.
Yeah, I tell you, these guys are so good, and to hit some of the shots they did. Mm-hmm. And listen, let's not take anything away from the women, because the LPGA news, the ladies kicked off their 2022 season down in sunny but cold Orlando, Florida. And it was another tournament where a player seized control of the tournament. And it was fun to watch because the hot American, Danielle Kang, and you can interpret that in many different ways as being hot American. But Danielle Kang took control of the Hilton Vacations Tournament of Champions. The field was limited to, you know, past year tournament winners, which is okay because, you know, you got the cream of the crop there. They were at Annika Sorenstam's home course, which was I can't remember the name of the course. What was the name of the course? Do you know? I can't remember the name of the course. Lake Nona. Okay. So Lake Nona is a difficult course, and they moved the venue there, and I'm sure it's going to be played there from, you know, years moving forward as long as Annika remains a resident there. But the number one player, American Nelly Korda, had been leading going into Sunday's round, but she couldn't do anything. She couldn't get anything going at all. I mean, it really felt bad for her because she has been playing so good golf. She weathered the storm, the elements that were in front of her, because it really did get cold down there. Gabby Lopez from Mexico shot up the leaderboard on Sunday to take the lead from Korda. But, lurking in the back by one or two shots was Danielle Kang. And boom, man, all of a sudden, in three-hole stretch, she not only does she join the leader, she takes the lead, and she never looks back. She surged out to a three-shot lead on the back nine. Nelly Korda was still couldn't get it going. And then Danielle Kang, ended up shooting a 16 under par for the 4 days, and she wins by three strokes over Canadian Brooke Henderson, who was also lurking, and she ends up in second place. It was truly an international leaderboard, and it was really cool to watch the women. They also had amateurs playing as well. They had celebrities playing with the professionals, and the men that played, the celebrity men who play a lot of golf, and many are scratch golfers, they were certainly impressed by the play of, you know, the women LPGA players. So it was, did you watch any of that tournament?
Bits and pieces, but not enough to get a real feel for it.
Oh, just what a leaderboard at the top. I mean, you had Nelly Korda, Danielle Kang, and Gabby Lopez, and Brooke Henderson, mamma mia. And those three, four ladies, they can play some golf. And, you know, the women are good, and they deserve accolades for their play and their hard work and to rise to the top in their competitive field. And in golf, you know, a man can't I'm sorry, a man can't cross-dress and compete on the LPGA Tour. The reason why I say he can't compete, because it would be incredible what he could do. We just got done talking about Hudson Swafford on the PGA hitting 342-yard drive. His fellow PGA players are hitting 330, 340, 350, 350, 347, 348 drives. The women are hitting it 230, 240, 250, 260, 250, 260. And it would not be fair. I mean, the same tees that Danielle Kang is playing, you had Derek Lowe, a retired baseball player, is out driving her by 30 yards. And this guy is not a professional, but he's a scratch golfer, and he's out driving her. And it's just, I'm sorry, but you know what? Biological men should not compete with biological women. You know, the women should be respected, especially the biological women, for what they do. And there are not many women on the LPGA Tour who could compete on the PGA Tour. A couple of women have tried, including then world number one, Annika Sorenstam, you know, who shot sub 60 rounds in the LPGA. She's the first woman to shoot 59. She won over 80 LPGA tournaments, and she couldn't make the cut on the PGA tournament. Michelle Wee, another great LPGA golfer. She tried as well. She even competed on a course in Hawaii that she grew up on at Wailea Country Club. She grew up playing there, playing against men, and she couldn't compete with the PGA men. So, you know, I'm so glad that right now we have biological women competing against biological women. And it was very entertaining this past weekend to watch the ladies golf. These were the top 35 who were the, you know, who won tournaments this past year. And there was only a few, maybe what, 15 that broke par over 4 days, 18 who broke par. It's a tough course. It was tough conditions. You don't need a Tiger Woods who's, you know, cross-dresses to come in, you know, and shoot 25, 30 under playing from the ladies' tees. Sorry, this is just, you know. You know, women's rights in America are under attack by the multiculturalists in an alarming fashion, and it's happening rapidly before our eyes. You know, we're seeing what they call this wokeness emerge, you know, push biological women aside, including their achievements. And in some sports like track and field and swimming, biological women's achievements and dedication and hard work in their respective sports are being stolen right out from underneath them. And it's really sad. And finally, you're having female competitors, okay, like Olympian Erica Brown speaking out. And as well as the U.S. swimming official who quit, she resigned because of this Leah Thomas. Olympian Erica Brown stated that we cannot allow transgender females to compete against biological women. And she is right, and she was referring to Leah Thomas, who is the controversial male who is now a female who competed at the University of Pennsylvania. 3 weeks after Leah Thomas' controversy emerged in the national spotlight, an active athlete has spoken out against the involvement of Thomas in women's sports. Via her Instagram account, Erica Brown, a member of Team USA at the Olympic Games in Tokyo, expressed that biological women are at a disadvantage when racing against transgender women. At the end of her Instagram post, Brown said she hopes her willingness to speak out will lead to others speaking out as well. I want to share something that's been on my heart regarding what is going on in U.S. swimming at this moment. I believe that we are all God's children, and we are called to love one another. I don't want to create hate, only speak up for what is right. We cannot allow transgender females to compete against biological women. A biological male goes through male puberty. Even when she has transitioned, she still has the physiology of a male. A few years of testosterone blockers and estrogen doesn't change the fact that she will have more powerful muscles, a larger heart, and greater lung capacity than a biological woman. It's time to start standing up for women's sports before we lose what so many before us have fought for. I hope this can help inspire others to speak up. Now, the last two sentences summed up exactly why people need to start speaking out. And so far, to Olympian Erica Brown, she's not retracted. She's not done a mea culpa. You know, she's not, oh, I've seen the light. Oh, she has stuck by what she stated. And as she said, it's time to start standing up for women's sports before we lose what so many before us fought for. I hope this can help inspire others to speak up. Very, very proud of her.
Well, I agree. You know where trans women should compete?
Where?
Jeopardy, Wheel of Fortune, professional chess. And we're seeing a great transgender woman kicking pick your body part all over Jeopardy right now.
Yes, he is.
So much so that he is.
So much so what?
He is. You're right. People are getting tired of him. He's not winning the hearts and minds of the American people. But I think all this is going to go, this is all going to go away, like defunding the police. People are going to realize that that was just a stupid idea by these Marxists. And people are going to wake up as crime is going crazy in cities throughout the country. And now they're starting to fund the police because they realize defunding the police increases crime. Not to mix the two different topics together, but they are kind of related because they're going to go, this will go away. What percentage of the population are cross-dressers anyway? I would say it's very small.
Like less than 1%.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, but hey, it's a very small segment of the population that really, I don't even know why they're getting so much attention, quite frankly.
Well, and it's not a breakthrough either. I mean, you know, to sit there and say that Leah Thomas goes out and breaks, you know, she shatters the women's records. Well, he shattered a women's record, right? And should he be proud of it? Then you have, you know, track and field. Then you have D3 male sprinters who couldn't make it in D3 and decide that they're going to be a woman now and compete as a woman. And boy, they're shattering records. And no, it's he. And again, it's really what Eric has stated at the end. It's time to start standing up for women's sports before we lose what so many before us have fought for. And that is the issue. Women, there was such a fight for women equality. There's such a fight for women get scholarships just like men in collegiate sports. There was such a fight for equality. So much so that in U.S. tennis, the U.S. Open tennis in New York, women's purse is the same as the men's purse. And yet women play three games per set, and men play five games per set. But you know what? Why is that? I mean, could it be because the masculine, what would you say? With men, they have more stamina? I mean, I don't know. But the fact is that the U.S. Open recognizes. Wimbledon recognizes this, okay? And now we're going to take a step back. And women's rights all across the world are being challenged constantly. And yet the same left-wing hypocrisy lunatics, you know, step out and they don't talk about this. You have an 18-year-old biological female who is on the verge of getting a track and field scholarship, which could help the parents, you know, because everybody has to go to college. And yet she's shown up by a cross-dressing male who steals her record, who steals her time, who steals several victories, and we're supposed to embrace this?
Well, it's even worse than that, because these are the same people who demanded parity between women's sports in college and men's sports because all the funding dollars went to men's sports, predominantly football, baseball, and hockey in some schools, but mainly football and baseball were getting all the money. All the money was going to men's sports, so they demanded parity, and they wanted some of that cash flow to go to the women's sports, and it did, and now these same people are destroying that. But frankly, you compete. You're very competitive. And you're a scratch golfer. If you and me went head-to-head, you being a scratch golfer, me being a 13, you would shot to shot, you would beat me.
Yes, I would.
And if you were to beat me, it wouldn't be any good test for you because we're at two different levels. It wouldn't mean as much, where if you were going scratch golfer to scratch golfer and you win, it's going to mean a lot more. Beating me would mean nothing because you know that you're a better golfer and I know that you're a better golfer. But if we're competing, right, the win would mean nothing. The trophy would mean nothing if you were to get the trophy, right?
Yeah, it would mean nothing if I put my ego aside, okay?
Right. But there's people like this man-woman swimmer. He's destroying the field. Those wins mean nothing because he knows that he's a man competing against a woman, and it's unfair physically.
Right.
So what kind of an individual is this win at all cost in sports to where the win is not even a legitimate win? It's nothing to be proud of. You're not gonna. It doesn't mean as much as a hard-fought one against an equal foe or an equal adversary.
Correct.
Yeah, it's a character flaw, and I don't know. There's something wrong with that, and it shouldn't be rewarded. And I think its days are numbered. I think people are starting to wake up to it.
Well, I'm surprised at how many people are starting to speak out. And two people that really spoke out, which really surprised me, Martina Navratilova and Chris Everett both spoke out, taking the side of Erica Brown and taking a side along with the U.S. Swimmers official who abruptly quit. And
are some pretty butch lesbians you're talking about here.
Yeah, Martina Navratilova never hid the fact that she's gay.
Yeah, can you say
and
that?
It's not
butch
about
lesbians?
Being gay. Yeah.
No.
Right.
See, I got to take things at such a low level. You had a good thing going, and I ruined it. Sorry. I killed your whole flow.
Well, no. Oh, no pun intended.
Not that the male-woman swimmer has a flow issue.
Right.
That's a whole other story. We won't get into that.
Well, and to keep the flow going, what really has prompted this discussion? Okay, so this past week, you and I both read Jihad Watch and read the stories and the constant genocide against Christians in Islamic countries. You have it's never ending. Okay, it's never ending. But one story that arose in Jihad Watch that also brought up kind of a sad subject was a story on January 22nd, 2 days ago. Saudis threaten women who report sexual harassment with jail time. And, here we are, we're talking about women in sports. We're talking about the equality of women. We don't see women competing in men's sports. Frankly, they can't. You eloquently, pointed out the difference. But you've got the Saudi Arabians, who's an ally, are threatening women who report sexual harassment with jail time. And that immediately brought up a woman by the name of Rehana Jabari, the memory of her. And who is Rehana Jabari? She was an Iranian woman who was raped by an Iranian official. She fended off her attacker at one point, I believe she may have stabbed him, fled to the police department. Now, where would you go? I mean, you're attacked, you're assaulted, and you immediately flee to the police for help. I would think any sane individual would do that. And it's amazing that how rational this person, you know, could be with that kind of trauma inflicted upon her. Suddenly the victim becomes a product of Shiite irate, the Shiite government's wrath. She was found guilty. I'm sorry, he tried to rape her. He didn't. She tried to sexually assault her, and she stabbed him with a penknife. Now, some people are stating that somebody came in after she fled that scene and finished the official off because she was screaming. So the Iranian theocracy, the terrorist regime of Iran, tries this woman who was being raped by a Iranian official. She's found guilty, and she's sent to Iran, one of Iran's worst prisons, the Evin prison, and she's tortured. She's brought out, you're going to be hung on this day. They walk her down, and 9 times it happened that they stayed the execution, and then one day they carried out the execution, and she was at such resolve to do so, she was mentally beat. And here's a woman, Rehana Jabari, who was 26 years old. She was defending herself against the man who tried to rape her. And if it wasn't for Randy Noble of The Cross in the Desert, who speaks hope and freedom to Iran, would have never heard about this story. And Randy has a show on Blog Talk Radio. And it was a very emotional time, and emotion for him because he has to speak to Iranians who believe in Christianity, you know, in their basements, and they have to do it covertly because if the Iranian Revolutionary Guard finds out that they're speaking to outsiders, they will be imprisoned and probably put to death by the Ayatollah pedophile Khomeini. Fast forward to 2022, and this story comes out that the Saudis now are going to punish women. So here we have the Shiite government of the terrorist regime of Iran punishing women for reporting a sexual assault. And now you have the Sunni government of the Saudis telling women if they are sexually harassed and they report it, they're going to face jail time. And that tells you one thing, that Sharia is clear. Sharia is the same whether you're a Sunni or a Shia. It's the same belief system. Saudi Arabia is a Wahhabist state. It has made some advances in relaxing rules for women, such as allowing them to drive, but it has a long way to go, as full modernization would not align with the texts of the Quran and Hadith. Its male guardianship program persists as parts of its overall commitment to Sharia, as does the ongoing crackdown on women's rights activists. Last April, Saudi women were reported to be using pseudonyms on Twitter to share their experiences of sexual harassment. The reason behind their hesitancy to report these abuses to authorities and demands for abolition of the discriminatory male guardianship system. The Sharia is clear that women are inferior and must remain under the control of men. Since women are inferiors, they must be told when and what to say. This poses a particular dilemma to the Saudi kingdom, now confronting a cultural and social clash that opened up Saudi Arabia from an austere and deeply conservative society to one that now hosts mass entertainment events has engendered. The rules and regulations in Saudi Arabia, as in many other Islamic states, are inspired or instructed by the Sharia. Take, for example, female coverings, which many Muslims still insist are not a religious requirement. Full covering are degrading to women, yet are required in the Quran. Quran 24:31, and tell the believing women to reduce their vision and guard their private parts and not expose their adornment except that which appears thereof, and to wrap a portion of their head covers over their chest and not expose their adornment except to their husbands, fathers, their husband's father, their sons, their husband's sons, their brother's sons, their sister's sons, their women, that which the right hand possesses, and the male attendants have no physical desire or children who are not yet of the private aspects of women. And let the stamp, and let them not stamp their feet to make known what they conceal of their adornment. And turn Allah in repentance, all of you, O believers. So Quran 33:59, O Prophet, tell your wives and your daughters and the women of believers to bring down over themselves outer garments that is more suitable that they may be known and not abused. So here we have a situation where the Iranian government with Rehana Jabari got away with killing an innocent woman, a woman who stood for her, up for herself, fended for herself, and then sought help from the authorities. And women's groups around the world were silent. The United Nations didn't demand the immediate release of Rehana Jabari, neither did the OIC. And why wouldn't the OIC do that, Al? Because why? The OIC believes in the Sharia. Fast forward from 2009, 12 years, 13 years later, and now we have the Saudi Arabians who are instructing women that if they talk about, if they report sexual harassment, they're going to face jail time. And guess what? The women's groups are silent. The UN is silent. The Human Rights Council at the UN is silent. The OIC is silent. And yet, we're told, we in the West are told that if we recite the Quran, if we talk about Muhammad, if we talk about the Ayatollah, well, we're accused immediately of Islamophobia. Why do you move to the West then? Why? What purpose is there that you move to the West if you don't want to adopt? And if you don't want to integrate, if you don't want to assimilate, and now we have the world bodies who want to pass judgment on the West, who demand that the West, you know, take migrants from Islamic countries, and yet they don't speak out against Saudi Arabia and women's rights. A woman is physically assaulted. A woman is sexually harassed, and they're supposed to shut up. I mean, I guess Harvey Weinstein is not guilty now. Why in the world did they imprison Jeffrey Epstein? Why did they imprison Ghislaine Maxwell? Well, I mean, what did Prince Andrew do then with this mentality? And these are the people that go out and they condemn those very individuals. And in the meantime, women have to take a back seat. Women are second-class citizens. women do not have possess the same rights as men. Well, that's true, Vito. I mean, have you read the Quran lately? Have you read Bukhari? The Bukhari said, the prophet said, isn't the witness of a woman equal to half that of a man? The woman said, yes. He said, this is because of the deficiency of a woman's mind. And the Democrat Communist Party in America, the DCP, embraces the Muslim Brotherhood, embraces those that are opposed to the United States of America and our constitutional republic. Bukhari 88:219, never will succeed such a nation as makes a woman their ruler. Really? And the Democrat Communist Party embraces Islam, embraces the Muslim Brotherhood, embraces them because they, the Democrat Communist Party, despises our constitutional republic. And yet, who is second in line? God forbid something happens to the buffoon Biden, a female, communist Kamala. Kamala Harris is second in line. And the very people who despise the United States of America are embraced by the Democrat Party in America, the destructive Democrat Party. Never will succeed a nation as makes a woman their ruler. Now, that's a perfect example of someone that's inept and incompetent as Kamala Harris, but the fact remains that you have an ideology that is embraced by the destructive Democrat Party, and the belief system is right in front of us. The belief system is written in stone. You can't change the Bukhari. You can't change the Quran. You can't change the Hadith. I mean, do the powers to be, the cabal, the establishment, the swamp, have a learning disability? You know, if Muslims migrate to America and they assimilate to America, and their focus is liberties and freedoms, and I know some Muslims who have migrated to America, and women do not adorn the head coverings and the full garb, and they live a Western lifestyle. But when they come in mass, when Muslims migrate in mass and they start making demands and they live in enclaves like in Hamtramck, Michigan and Dearbornistan, and they make demands upon Americans and to change our way of life, when in fact you have migrated to the United States of America, why aren't you speaking out against women being infected with this tyrannical ideology? A woman who is abused is going to face jail time if she reports it? Yeah, as Holger states, you know, maybe Harvey Weinstein should have converted to Islam. But I think he died, didn't he?
Harvey?
Yeah. Is he still alive? I don't know. Who cares?
Exactly. Yeah, who cares?
I mean, Al, you were active in you were involved in the young lady who came down from Ohio and was going to be killed by her parents, and she was embraced by, you know, by a Christian minister and his wife, and just look at the wrath that she faced.
Oh, her whole life was torn apart. All she did is convert to Christianity. She had to keep it hidden from her parents. She was underage. She came down to Florida to escape her parents. They were going to send her back to Sri Lanka, and they were likely going to kill her. But she escaped. She's leading a great life now, and the couple that saved her, they lost their practically three-quarters of their savings in lawyer fees to save her life. They lost their church. It split their church in half. It was nothing but bad things happened to them personally, but they saved this girl's life, which made it all worthwhile.
Well, And that's just it. We're talking about giving women equal rights. It's amazing. You know, America is striving for women to have equal rights, equal pay, right? The Democrat Communist Party, you know, is trying to sell us that women deserve equal pay. And suddenly, you know, Hillary Rodham Clinton slides out from under her rock and she's talking about women deserve equal pay in America. You know, that's an old, you know, propaganda narrative. It's the 2022, Hillary, wake up. But then you get this story with the Saudi Arabians and women are going to be jailed if they report sexual harassment. Where is the United Nations? The United Nations wants to be so relevant. United Nations wants to be the global cabal that administers their edicts throughout the world. You have China, Iran, and Russia sitting on the Human Rights Council. Where is the Human Rights Council? Why is a woman being threatened, whether it be Saudi Arabia, Turkey, Egypt, Canada, Australia? Why is a woman threatened if, in fact, she suffers some sort of sexual harassment, sexual battery, some sort of sexual attack? Why is a woman being threatened with jail time? She is the victim. It's amazing. Yeah, and Paul, here, Paul Sutliff's in the room. Hi, Paul. Paul's the host of a Thursday show, The Sutliff Report. By the way, Paul, great show on Saturday with Minister Osama Dakduk. Enjoyed it. It was fun to listen to. Man, Osama was on a roll. Paul says, I'm about to lose my YouTube channel for talking about Islamic hate, but I get more hits on Rumble lately, so Paul's on Rumble as well. So here it is. Paul talks about Islamic hate. Paul talks about Saudi Arabia. Paul talks about Iran. Iran hangs a woman, innocent 26-year-old, who was sexually attacked by an Iranian official. She fends herself off using a penknife. The scumbag, an alleged rapist, dies, and Rehana Jabari is put up on charges of murder. She's found guilty. She's tortured in a Iranian prison, and she's hung after like the ninth attempt to put her to death. And 12 years later, we're back to square one. Women's rights equal half of that of a man, and Saudi Arabia now is threatening women with imprisonment if, in fact, they report sexual harassment. Mamma mia.
That's Islam. In Pakistan, a 26-year-old woman on Wednesday was sentenced to death for texting caricatures of Prophet Muhammad. And blasphemy is what the charge is for texting a caricature of the Prophet. It's a sensitive issue in Muslim-majority Pakistan, and laws prohibiting it can carry a potential death sentence. And she was sentenced to death on Wednesday after being convicted of sending a blasphemous text message and a caricature of Muhammad via WhatsApp. Anika Atik, 26, was arrested in May 2020 and charged with posting blasphemous material. And when a friend urged her to change it, she said, forward the material to him. It is said the sentence was announced in the garrison city of Rawalpindi, with the court ordering her to be hanged by her neck till she is dead.
Well, that's some friend, because one of the most secure apps aside from Telegram is WhatsApp. So it's not like the courts can get an order to release her WhatsApp. So that meant that the friend had to turn over what was sent to him by her to the authorities, because WhatsApp is a secured transmission vehicle on your phone.
Yep.
So
that's
really
Islam.
There's no change. Yeah, exactly. There's no change. And the destructive Democrat Party in America embraces this ideology. We know the Democrat Communist Party shares the same value system as the Muslim Brotherhood and its fundamentalists, because they all despise our constitutional republic. They despise our U.S. Constitution, yet they hide behind the First Amendment in their victimhood campaign. Hamas Care loves a propaganda campaign to portray Muslims as a victim. And then Care goes on the offensive to stem free speech in America, like Paul Sutliff is experiencing right now, okay, with speech they do not agree with. Eric from Kafiristan, he feels the wrath on a daily basis. Hence, UN Resolution 1618 seeking to be implemented on a formal basis is an end around right now on an informal basis by condemning Americans' freedoms to express their opinions. Quickly, one is labeled an Islamophobe or a bigot, and it's not true. When an Islamic activist who is supported by Hamas Care and or sits on Care's board and travels around the United States, then instructs fellow Muslims not to assimilate in America, why the aggressive campaign to migrate to America if you're instructing Muslims not to assimilate in America, the host country? Where is the United Nations condemning these actions and this activity by the Saudi Arabians? Is it the useless nations now? Where is the Organization of Islamic Cowards? Where are they? Nowhere to be found. Silent. The 57 state council never speaks up. In the meantime, you have the lady in Pakistan going to be put to death. In Germany, Afghan Muslim migrant tries to kill a woman because women shouldn't work, says, I sent her to paradise. You believe this? In Berlin, just a few seconds, there were enough to destroy a family's life, an incredible assassination attempt out of nowhere. Out of nowhere. The random victim is called Regina G., age 58. Now her son is collecting donations to give his mother the best possible treatment and give her back some normalcy. Flashback, September 4, 2021, around 1:30 p.m. Regina G. volunteers to tend the flower beds on a quiet residential street in Berlin's Wilmersdorf district. Suddenly, Abdul Malik. Now, I know you're sitting here wondering what nationality could Abdul Malik be? A Mormon? A Jehovah's Witness? An atheist? Abdul Malik, age 29, and the IDF defines an Islamic terrorist as a male between the age of 18 and 35. Wow, fits the profile. Let's profile, okay? Attacks Regina G. from behind and stabs her in the neck several times with a knife. The Afghan refugee injures the hobby gardener so badly that the doctors have to put her in a coma. The shocking diagnosis, the main artery which supplies the left side of the brain with blood, was irreparably damaged during the attack. She suffers a severe cerebral infarction, after which most of the left side of the brain dies. Regina G. loses the ability to speak and is paralyzed on one side. Why? She was gardening. Trigger for the madness, the refugee disliked the fact that she worked as a woman. When police took Abdul Malik H. away, the arrested man told an officer that he had sent Regina G. to paradise. Women should not work. He's in Germany. He's an Afghan refugee. If Germany had any nuts at all, not only would they imprison and then deport this, they put this killer to death, or attempted killer to death, but they would deport the entire Chain family. If you can't assimilate to a Western country, a peaceful nation like Germany, you do not deserve to reside in that country. You had one woman, Regina G., and her son, who assimilated to the Western Germany. You have another, an Afghan refugee, who was given an opportunity to live freely and not under the reign of a tyrannical ideology. And he decides to take the life of an innocent woman. The Afghan refugee injures the hobby gardener so badly that doctors have to put her in a coma. When the police took Malik away, the arrested man told an officer that he had sent Regina to paradise. Her son, Amar Hamzi, who is organizing the campaign, writes on the GoFundMe donation platform, "The fanatic who told the police that he wanted to send my mother to paradise didn't know my mother was in the middle of it to make the world a better place." And again, as Ruben said, revert back to the way it was. Why, in fact, did Abdul Malik A come to the West? Why? If he believes in that ideology, why go to a non-Muslim country? And again, this woman's life was taken from her. Rehana Jabari's life was taken from her. A victim of Islam that she should have never been a victim. These ladies should never be victims in such a manner that they have to worry that they're going to be placed in jail for reporting a sexual harassment, die because they were gardening, running to police after being sexually attacked. And women's rights groups are silent. Oh, we have to stand up for women's rights. We have to march on Washington, D.C. We have to put our vagina hats on. And it's so bad, and the right wing is so bad, and this is so bad. And when women actually need help, they're silent. They're silent. It's amazing, Al.
It's been going on for 1,400 years.
Absolutely. And what's being learned from this? You know, what is being learned from there's it's like we are still in denial, excuse me, not the river, but people are we have these officials who are still in denial, and they have opted for this wokeness. They have opted for this multicultural political correctness. And in the meantime, it's supposed to be politically correct to stand up for women's rights, and yet women's rights are being pushed aside. More so now than ever.
Yeah, well, canceling, that's what happens now.
Yeah, the cancel culture. You're absolutely right. The cancel culture has taken over.
Yeah. Well, as you were talking, I was doing a little experiment on Facebook just to see.
Yeah.
So I posted something, and I just got canceled for 24 hours. Now, I didn't post anything other than a quote, and the quote said, "The only religion I respect is Islam. The only prophet I admire is the prophet Muhammad," close quote. And I just got kicked off of Facebook for 24 hours for posting that.
Really?
Yeah. And it's a meme. I just took the meme, put it up on Facebook. Now, it's a quote from Adolf Hitler.
Wait a minute. Isn't he revered by many in the Islamic world?
You would think. But I just did it as an experiment because you were talking about these women and the women's rights are selectively stood up for and protected with speech, and otherwise are just ignored and demeaned, killed without any word. And the same thing happens to us here on Facebook. Granted, much different, but it's kind of the same thing. Hey, we got a caller.
Yeah, maybe I think this is Paul. Maybe Dr. Yeah. Sutliff would like to weigh in on this.
Well,
doctor.
Hi, everybody.
Doctor.
Hassan al-Banna was Hitler's pen pal. So, yeah, and he's the founder of the Muslim Brotherhood. So I find it humorous. I've My group has been, the Sutliffing Report group, which has over 1,000 members, has been threatened with being removed for false they're saying it's fake news when everything I put up there has been proven to be true, even after they call it fake news.
Isn't it amazing, Paul? You quote the book, you quote Bukhari, you quote the Hadith, you quote the Quran, and yet it's all fake news.
Or it's hate speech.
Yeah. And then when you try to, contest the whatever Facebook does, you say, I challenge your decision, and they don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear that.
Well, on YouTube, Google's worse than Facebook. Google doesn't listen at all. So they own YouTube, and they don't even respond. They just say, we don't. Your decision's not been, we didn't, your appeal's been rejected. So I'm putting everything I do up on Rumble as well, and I'm advising everybody else to do that. So some of the stuff you're talking about, we actually have been doing. Like Usama's big thing is, why don't we teach more about what's in the Quran? And so one of Eric's friends and I are doing this series called Dissecting the Quran. We're starting chapter 5 in our next session. We've gone all the way through, line by line. It's so idiotic. I mean, just we got people who come in, who are Arabic speakers who are joining us. Then we have Muslims who come and listen. It's just, they don't want to listen. They want to distract. So we think it's kind of humorous.
Yeah. Now, where can people listen to this? This sounds very, very interesting.
That's on YouTube, and the channel is called Dissecting the Quran. And we started out from chapter 1, verse 1, and some of these sessions are 5 hours long. So I can't promise that we're going to be doing any more of those, but he's back at work and I'm in retirement, so I didn't mind. So,
yeah.
Yeah, we're having fun. As what we're doing is just we're using Usama's Quran to go through this. And that's the humor of this in many ways, because it points out some of the lies, the very deceitful things that are stated in the Quran and the inconsistencies. So I've been making memes. I'll send them all to you to make you have a good laugh.
please do.
Let me put it this way. Anybody who wants a series of memes on Islam, straight from the Quran, you can email me at BEREAN_research@yahoo.com. Just put memes in the subject area, and I will send you a series of them. I'm having fun doing those as we go through. I haven't caught up yet, but I'm getting there. How about the one where women are dirtier than dirt, and it comes straight from the Quran? I'm having, yes, this is the religion that's supposed to When you listen to what the social studies teachers are taught to teach about Islam, it treats women as more equal. Like, excuse me? Women are dirtier than dirt. How are they more equal? So on Twitter, this Muslim's responding. Well, actually, in Usama's translation, it talks about touching the face. And then, the guy has to wash his hands with water, or if that's not available, with dirt. And this guy's arguing, that's talking about having sex. So really, you're still saying you need to wash yourself with dirt to get the woman off you. Is that correct? And I says, and the other part of that is I talked to Usama about this, and he says, I don't know how you have sex on, when touching the face.
Well, the other thing that makes that so interesting is that the followers of Islam believe that the Quran is the exact word of Allah that has been uncorrupted by man. So everything that you say from the Quran cannot be changed, altered, or innovated upon. So all Muslims believe it. I don't like to use the word all, but all Muslims believe that because they have to.
Is what we can say Islam believes that. Any follower of Islam believes that. And that's how you – I don't want to put it down as Muslims. I want to put it down as Islam teaches this and requires this belief. If you don't believe this, you're not a true follower of Islam. And
so
I'm trying to differentiate now between Muslim and Islam, something new I'm doing.
Well, you're going to discuss chapter 5, and I find it interesting because chapter 5, verse 51, oh, you have believed, do not take the Jews and the Nasara as friends. They are friends to one another, and whoever among you takes them as friends, so surely he is one of them. Allah does not guide the unjust people. So you consider that. So that would be interesting to hear dissect.
What we've discovered through our Arabic speaker is that they don't use the word friends. They use the word guardian. And that's interesting. So they don't want you to be friends, first of all. That's true. But they don't want to even be – they don't want to associate with you, what is what it really comes down to. They want nothing to do with you, and you're dangerous because you could make them non-Muslim by teaching them things like logic. You don't have to teach them anything about the Quran. Teach them logic. Teach them, you know, what fallacies are. Teach them what it means when you read something that's inconsistent. Why would you bother going there again? Or if it doesn't make sense, why would you go back there again? And this is where it's kind of tiring when we're going through this. I mean, we put 5 hours in, five and a half hours in one session. And it's some of this is just gobbledygook. But we're pointing out the little individual things going line by line. And I challenge anyone to find any place where a Muslim has done this. It doesn't exist. Not by a Muslim. So you find this in the Bible. They go straight through the Bible. I mean, you'll find things like go through the Bible in a year. Why is there no go through the Quran in a year? those are the questions we need to start asking. We go through the Quran. But you have to read it, not repeat it in Arabic where you don't understand anything. That's the other thing.
Luckily, Usama Dokdok, who is your partner in this show, he is fluent in Arabic. He's fluent in classical Arabic, which only 10 to 15% of followers of Islam are, and he's of Egyptian background. So he knows the language.
He's not my partner with that series. He's not my partner with that series. But we do use his Quran, and that's the it's just so funny. It's actually somebody I formerly interviewed on my show, I believe, is the Arabic speaker, and I'm not allowed to give his name out, but I just find it incredibly humorous that that no Muslim, they're supposed to revere the Quran. They don't want you to read it. How do you revere something you never read?
Right,
because the imam will tell you what you need to know, because they're authorities,
and you're supposed to trust them. And this is the difference between Christianity and Judaism and Islam. The Jewish rabbi will say, if you don't believe me, check the scriptures. The Christian pastor, the biblical Christian pastor, I'll say, will say, check me against the scriptures. All right. You want if they don't line up, you're supposed to dismiss these people. But if you don't do that with a Quran, you can't tell. And that's why we get these people, proclaim that Islam is a freedom, Islam is this, Islam means peace. Well, have you ever read the Quran? The Quran actually says horrible things to Muslims. Like, one of the ones is that we had a good laugh with. And there's talking about winning battles. You know how Allah decides? He's basically like tossing a coin up in the air. Okay, if you win, if I decide it's okay for you to win today, you win. It's okay to lose. You're just some of my followers. It doesn't matter. it's hilarious when you start going through this. Allah does not care about Muslims. Does not care about his followers at all.
No, and then he played the ultimate joke on the followers of Islam. Right before his death, It's what he didn't do is that right before he died for his empire, he didn't have a clear line of succession. So two groups formed, the Sunni and the Shia, and they have been killing each other because each one believes that they are the rightful heir to Muhammad's empire. So they have been killing each other for 1,400 years, and they will continue killing each other for time immemorial. And that is the big joke of Islam.
Well, you know, it's funny because if you listen to some of the recent jihadis, and they're talking about when they were fighting the Shia, or the Sunnis, like for ISIS, that were fighting the Shia, that is considered a higher wage of jihad, is to fight the Shia, because it's considered an apostasy war, which is purifying Islam. So that's the other thing that's humorous about this. They're supposed to kill each other off more than they're supposed to kill us off. that's how they believe, and I'm not saying that's in the Quran, that this purifying Islam is the most important thing in the Quran, but that's what the history tells us.
Yeah,
and what you'll see Mujahid doing.
Yeah. Hey, people can believe whatever they want. That's why they call it faith. But when your faith requires you to kill others in the name of that faith, then there's a huge problem with that. But nobody will talk about it, and God forbid if you do, you'll be labeled some vile epithets. You'll pay a price for mentioning the
easily. Well, we did have Joe Biden talk about it, but he didn't know he talked about it. he called for jihad, and he had no clue that he did it. I still laugh about that every time I think about it, because whenever I'm talking about jihad now, I mention Joe Biden called for jihad. Mr. Dementia.
Yeah, the old dictator.
Or as Osama calls him, O Biden.
O Biden.
That's probably a better, you know, a better description, especially with somebody pulling those strings of Joe Biden. But Paul, also plug your book. Your book is The Cancer Civilization Jihad, and chapters 7 and 8, I believe, or is it 8 and 9, that you do go into women's issues and women's rights and how women are considered half of a man. Under Islamic rule, and I'm trying to. I have it right here. I was reading through it again.
Yeah, it was like six. It was like 4 or 5 chapters on women. I mean, we talk about are women equal? Are women considered intellectual equals? I mean, there's a whole bunch of things. Are you supposed to wear the hijab? And I laugh about that one in particular because I didn't get the end result that I thought I would. But when you start. When you're doing honest research and you actually look things up, you don't always get the answer you think you're going to get. And that's the difference between – this is the thing I keep encountering with Muslims, or I should say followers of Islam. They do not only don't read when they want to critique Islam, to critique Christianity, they don't read for understanding. I know my biggest critique lately on Facebook and where I'm allowed to post, in the United States, we have this, and throughout the world, in the Western world, I'd say any place that teaches English or some language that the kids have to learn, if a child has not learned to read for understanding by grade 4, they're not going to, but we tend to think that they have learning disabilities. Well, I have yet to meet a Muslim that reads for understanding when they want to critique. So let's see, I have for women, I have are women considered less than equals in Islamic social norms? Are Muslim women required to wear the hijab, or is it a choice? Do Islamic social norms make Muslim men see women as intellectual equals or sexual objects of pleasure? Is child marriage and forced marriage part of Islamic social norms? Is there an Islamic social norm requiring female genitalia mutilation? Is it an Islamic social norm that non-Muslim women are sexual prey for Muslim men? Is temporary marriage an Islamic social norm? And is there a social norm that gives a husband the right to beat his wife? And that's social norms are social psychology way of, you know, like we used to call them mores, social mores. Is there a moral stance in Islam that says you can do these things? And I did this solely on, you know, going from a social psychology point of view, and I promoted this, put this book out as a social psychology book, not as a book on terrorism or on Islam. I'm hoping, my hope in this is that some social psychology journal will actually pick this up and say, we should critique this. I doubt it'll happen, but I challenge anyone who has any psychologist that they know to dare to critique it. And I've actually sent it to a psychiatrist to see if he will. I'm waiting for his response. It's kind of a beast in that respect.
Well, Paul, you know, what's interesting about that, and I'll go to the, is there a social norm in Islam that gives a husband the right to beat his wife? And, you know, you would be ravaged on Twitter. You know, you don't understand and this and that. But then you quote the Quranic verse, and it's Quran verse 434. And it clearly states that a man can hit a woman if she's not obedient, but he can strike her lightly, admonish her lightly, you know, don't hit her in the face.
Al just got done. Any place, but not in the face.
Right. Al got done stating earlier that the Quran is the word of Allah. It cannot be changed. And so if you have a devout fundamental Muslim who adheres to the Quran, adheres to the Hadith, the Bukhari, what you've written here is actual truth, because you did not take the verse 434 out of context, and you can read this for yourself, and it's spelled out in the Quran that you can admonish your wife. And I don't care however so lightly, excuse me, but you don't touch a woman. You don't beat a woman.
Well, it gets
so
more
lightly.
Humorous, actually, because I did put in their passage about the toothbrush, and I didn't critique it as much as I should have. That particular, there's a claim that you're only allowed to beat your wife with a toothbrush. Well, the truth is that hadith is not sahih. It's questionable. And, you know, I put it in there, but you know what? The truth is that most Muslims don't, they know that you can't trust that they know not to believe that. So they do beat their wives, and you do hear about that. But the police will not talk about it. They won't. They won't even compare. You know, women are just not considered human enough, is what it comes down to.
So
does
the ADA put a disclaimer on all toothbrushes that are being sold in the United States?
Well,
I'm just a question.
On Eric's show, we had a Muslim come on and call us less than human. And so I put that up on my blog. If anybody wants a good laugh, you can go to paulsutliff.blogspot.com, and you can see Muslims calling us less than human. And Eric has a little pig on his bookshelf behind him, and he says, "Oh, really? Are we less than this little guy behind me?" He said, and he's pointing to the pig. And yes, you are less than pig. And then we had a Muslim the next week say the same thing. I'm still thinking about going back and ripping that and putting it in the same place. Some of these things.
And it's intolerance is what it is. It's intolerance on the part of Islam. They don't want to hear, you know, on one hand, they challenge the non-Muslim to read the Quran. And so you read the Quran and you go, wow. And then they assault you and they assail you and they accuse you of Islamophobia, when in fact all you did was follow their instructions and read the Quran. And I'll tell you, I'll never forget. This is what I know it got Al started, and he had gone to the interfaith meetings and stuff and read the Quran. And it was like, wow. And he said, you read it. And so I started reading it. And then I got Osama's Quran. And it's like, wow, holy cow. You know, this, they want us to read it. And then suddenly Al's the enemy because Al read the Quran. He understands the Quran, but you're not supposed to understand the Quran. And then they do a double talk and they say, well, here's the Quran to read. And it's like, well, wait a minute. This isn't the generous Quran. This is your excerpts of from the generous Quran. And so it was really that was the biggest inspiration for doing this. And of course, you know, the attack on 9/11, that's what really inspired things, but go ahead.
I think that it's humorous to me that most Muslims, I've been helping out in the background more with Eric and a few others, and I'm taking part with some debates I haven't really engaged in, but I'm watching it, and my background is I got an undergraduate degree in religion and philosophy, and part of that is taking classes in logic. And I have yet to encounter one Muslim who can engage in what we would call non-fallacious reasoning. Fallacies are, you know, they say that you're using logic errantly. You're making false arguments, and you're basically appearing as a fool. And we have yet to see one Muslim do that. Christian Prince, I have seen, he doesn't allow it. And, you know, it's kind of humorous because people will come to Christ. And when they realize, you know, if they're being honest with themselves, they're not out there to attempt to dissuade people. It's one thing to have an intellectual discussion. If anybody wants a good laugh, I'm going to say you've got to go watch Eric's last show, and I'd say watch it on YouTube because it's hilarious. Because Kenny Bomber, or however you want to say his name, who has made Eric's life hell, did a debate with David Wood. And he was so destroyed in it. And we're going through, and we'll watch for tomorrow night because we're going to do the second part reviewing that. And I'd say watch the first part and the second part. And you're going to see that he was so destroyed. I watched the debate. And this man was destroyed in David Wood's opening statement because Kenny had decided that he would insult one of the people that works with Eric. Her name is Connie, and he decided to make this statement, and he was trying to be, you know, insulting to her. But he ended up calling his prophet a pervert, and he didn't realize that.
Oh.
Yeah. So David Wood was given the quote right from Kenny. I mean, he was given the video right from that Kenny did this on the show. It was so humorous. So he actually reads that quote, and he says, well, Kenny will have to agree with this religious scholar who knows all this stuff about Islam as being all-knowing. And he basically, you know, in the point where Kenny says, well, yes, anybody would have be interested in little children, and the way he words it is not a denial that he also doesn't have those interests, which is kind of interesting when you sit there and listen to it. You know, you have to listen to it a few times to catch that. But you see these things, you're like, whoa. Yeah. So he actually calls, you know, he says anybody would have interest in a child of 6 or, you know, 9 is a pervert. That's what he basically says.
Ooh.
He actually uses the word pervert. And that was part of David Wood's opening statement. And you can thank the team that works with Eric for taking care of that. It was funny. I mean, to hear that in the opening statement, and this guy had nowhere to go from there.
So then what did he do? He started accusing Eric of hate speech then?
No. He's done. He did that before.
He's done
a whole bunch of things like hate speech, copyright violation, things like that. But he doesn't understand there is something called fair use doctrine, and he's been losing lately. Now that I explained things to some people about Fair Use Act and why you can use stuff, but this guy is so out there.
But
the
facts
only thing
don't
he
matter.
Achieved through his debate with, the only thing he achieved through his debate with David Wood was that no one's going to listen to him anymore.
David Wood's excellent, and here you have David Wood, a former atheist, who educated himself and is probably one of the foremost on Christianity and Islam, right?
I don't know about the foremost on Christianity, but he is probably one of the best out there on debating Islam as a Christian.
Yeah.
It's hard to find someone who has as much knowledge as him. I would put the team that all together up that's working with Eric as pretty much an equivalent. All of them together I think would be an equivalent to this one man. It's quite a statement. The people I'm kind of working with them, and I'm just impressed with the team that he's got together are just great people.
Well, thank you for all your work, Paul. Thank you for all you're doing and helping out with and actually it was a great show with Osama on Saturday. So thanks for all you do. And Paul Sutliff is the author of The Cancer Civilization Jihad, his latest book. Check it out, Amazon.com. Or, Paul, your website?
PaulSutliff.blogspot.com. And if you'd like me to come to your church or to your group or whatever to speak, just go to paulsutliff.com. There's a form you can fill out to request it. Thank you. God bless all.
All right. Take care, Paul. Thank you.
Thanks,
be safe
Paul.
Out
Thanks,
there.
Paul.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm going to definitely watch the YouTube version of Eric's show last week. That would be January the 18th. And with David Wood, I love David Wood. Oh, I mean, that guy just, he buries people. He really does. Just love him.
Yep. Well, hey, we better touch on the issue of Ukraine, because Ukraine is at the top of the news heap this week. In fact, today even, the United States has coordinated the first shipment of military aid to Ukraine. The latest move is an increasingly tense standoff with Russia. An estimated 100,000 Russian troops have been stationed near Ukraine's eastern border for months, though President Vladimir Putin denies rumors of an impending invasion. The U.S. has ordered non-essential staff to evacuate the embassy.
Well, I got to tell you something, Al. Gateway Pundit has had a couple of articles written by a Larry Johnson. And if you go to Gateway Pundit, there's one thing that Larry Johnson, one of the articles that he wrote, I thought was very interesting. And, we have, little dictator Joe, his economic policies are an absolute disaster. The jobless report last week came in. It was unexpectedly higher. It climbed to 286,000. And I'm bringing this up because all of a sudden we're now involved in Ukraine. And Larry Johnson put it in one of his articles that he wrote that this is a distraction. And I'll tell you what, I believe it is a distraction. Suddenly we are now amassing troops at Ukrainian border where we can't defend our own borders here in the United States. Or I should say we have little Joe denying the protection of our U.S. borders, and which is another failure of this feckless fraud. And he had such a bad week last week. Unemployment numbers, the filibuster, the economy. Mm-hmm. Keep one loss after another. And all of a sudden now we weren't going to get involved in Ukraine. Ukraine was just going to be a little misunderstanding. It was going to be a little, and now we're looking at we're going to compete or going to go head-to-head against Russia? I mean, who is really the Russian colluder here?
Well, let's see. Well, our president, President Biden, does have some experience with Ukraine, and here's a short clip.
Tonight, there's some troublesome news for Joe Biden. No, it's not what you think or what you may have heard from some other news outlets. We generally don't dabble in that kind of stuff here, at least not on this newscast. No, this is actually a lot more important because it may have to do with malfeasance, may have to do with corruption on the part of our former vice president. I want you to listen to what Mr. Biden said last year about getting a prosecutor in Ukraine fired.
I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here, and I think it was, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Oh, son of a got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid at the time.
Solid, huh? Well, I guess if you're trying to get rid of a guy who's crooked and you convince him to do so, that would be good, right? Well, it just so happens that that prosecutor that Mr. Biden was talking about, the one he got fired, was investigating Burisma Holdings. What's Burisma Holdings? It's a private gas company out of Ukraine. And guess who happens to be on the board of Burisma Holdings, making quite a lot of money, in fact? Robert Hunter Biden, son of the former vice president. Now, this seems, at the very least, on its face, as a clear case of a conflict of interest. So we've been trying to reach out to Mr. Biden's office to get some reaction. I'm Rick Sanchez. You found us on YouTube, and that's awesome. But you know what? I'm also live every night at 7 and 8.
How about that little blast from the past?
I think it's relevant. And I'm going to give you my 2 cents, and then you go. And it's funny you bring that up because I have, in my opinion, that's really relevant. And it's relevant to the standpoint that I think authorities, I think someone has been getting really close in uncovering this whole Ukrainian massive fraud by the upper echelon of the U.S. government. And I'm talking about the Speaker of the House, the President, senators, U.S. senators, and of course you've got John Lurch Kerry. I think someone's getting close. And I think what needs to be have is a distraction. And just like Larry Johnson wrote in Gateway Pundit's story, that this is a distraction from the utter failure, from the abysmal 2 weeks that Lion Biden has had. And why the Ukraine? If they can go, if the Russians can go in, and if they can, let's say, erase all of the activities of Burisma and other energy companies in Ukraine, then it saves the hide of the Biden crime family. It saves the hide of the Pelosi crime family, because let's not forget here that Paul Pelosi Jr., which is Nancy Pelosi's son, was involved in Ukraine energy. Then you also have another individual who was involved in Burisma, and that was John Kerry's stepson, Chris Hines. Now, Chris Hines had enough wherewithal to leave the Burisma board because he thought something stunk. However, the Kerry-Hines family has profited dearly from Ukrainian energy. And the last individual, and certainly not the least, is going to be Mitt Romney and his daughter. Now, why all of a sudden are we talking about the Ukraine? Why is it that the Russians, we are going to defend the Ukrainians from the Russians? I'm telling you, I think that there's something that's close. Somebody is close to uncovering something with regards to Ukraine. We know how corrupt Joe Biden and the Biden crime family truly is. Crackhead Hunter was paid dearly for his involvement in Ukrainian energy, not to mention the $3.2 million he got from the mayor of what? Moscow? His wife? And no one talks mm-hmm. about that. You had the New York Post was being riddled out of Twitter because of their stories on Crackhead Hunter and the Biden crime family. So I am not surprised that things are going down with Ukraine, because remember, it was Nancy Pelosi who covered up for Joe Biden and impeached President Trump over a supposed quid pro quo that never happened on the part of Donald Trump. And she was covering up for the actual quid pro quo of Joe Biden, then Vice President of the United States, who had diarrhea of the mouth. And he went to confession during that summit, that meeting he was at in April, when he revealed that it was he and Barack Obama who did the actual quid pro quo, withheld a $1 billion loan guarantee to an ally.
Mm-hmm.
This is no coincidence.
Nope. So fast forward to today. If you were Putin, what I believe, I mean, why would Putin want, yeah, he's got the 100,000 troops threatening to go over the border, but why would he want to do that when he could have a bulletless, nonviolent coup by putting in one of his own people into the halls of power of the Ukraine? And then he could control the country without as he could have one of his proxies in there controlling. Hell, the CIA did that for decades during the 60s, 70s, and 80s. They were famous for it. So that's what I think is happening, but I don't know. And either way, Ukraine is a pawn. They're a pawn of Russia, and Biden and Hunter, just from this clip, are dirty, and they are corruptible.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure that Putin, who is a KGB spy master, is pulling all those levers in just the right fashion, applying pressure exactly where it's needed most, so Biden and Hunter can protect themselves, and he and Putin is extracting whatever it is that he wants, or as much as he can get, from the United States of America, because Germany has already said that they will not come to the aid of Ukraine. Now Trump, on the other hand, went to Germany and said, "Well, what are you going to do about Ukraine?" Well, Angela Merkel went to Trump and said, "What are you going to do about Ukraine?" Trump fired back at her. He said, "Angela, Ukraine's on your border. What are you going to do about Ukraine?"
Yeah. Yep.
Now with Biden, it's just the opposite. So it's going to be very interesting how this all plays out. And the stock market was down 1,200 points, almost 1,300 earlier in the morning today, and then it shot back up, closed, I believe, in the positive territory, up 100 points. So that means the people on Wall Street aren't that concerned. So if Wall Street's not that concerned, something else must be happening. We'll see.
Could it be gas? Could it be fuel? Could it be the fact that the United States is buying more oil from Russia? Could it be the United States is more energy dependent now than ever before in just 12 short months of this buffoon being installed in the White House? 12 short months.
The Nord Stream pipeline. That's one pipeline that that President Biden likes.
Yeah,
shut
amazing,
down
isn't
our
it?
Pipeline, was bringing in fuel and made us fuel, was a big part of the United States of America being fuel suppliers, net suppliers for the rest of the world. It was amazing. That's when, if you look back a year, we were paying, what, $1.50, $1.75, $1.80 a gallon?
$1.84, $1.82 a gallon, for gas.
Yeah, and in the Southeast, you're paying, $3.50, $3.60. You go out to the West Coast, you're paying upwards of $5.40 a gallon. All that within a year.
Yeah.
Now, all these little data points are relevant. You just have to put them in the right pattern. And I think that all plays, and I think you hit the nail on the head. Follow the fuel. Follow the oil.
Yeah, he's this whole thing, and if anybody is a Russian colluder, it's certainly Joe Biden. I mean, the manufactured assault on former President Trump with regards to being a Russian collaborator was absolutely false. But it turns out that there's more ties to Russia and Ukraine with the current occupant of the White House and members of Congress. And that should really disturb the American people. And it's exactly what Biden didn't want to get out. And I tell you, to me, this whole thing stinks to high heaven.
Mm-hmm. And then you had Marxist Democrat Swalwell sleeping with the Chinese spy, Fang Fang, when he is on one of the national security subcommittees.
His political career is launched by the Chinese, Al.
Yeah. And the Chinese are who we have to fear more than the Russians. I think China won, the Islamist jihadis 2, and Russia 3. That's how I see our adversary list. This is big news, so follow it closely.
It is, and you know, the other thing is that you have you've got a lot of the left wingers now are Meet the Depressed is turning. I mean, it's turning on Biden, calling out because the American people are not standing for the lies and misinformation, and of course, we feel it at the gas pump. Okay, first and foremost, when you fill up your tank and you are paying $1.89 a gallon, and it's not fictitious, it's not made up, it's not an average, it was an actual $1.89 a gallon, and then you're paying $3.30 a gallon, $3.27, $3.24 a gallon. You see, it's cost you an extra $16 to $18, $19 to fill up your vehicle. There's something wrong here. When you're going to the supermarket and you used to pay, you know, $69 and you walk out, and now that same amount of groceries you're paying $94 for, $97 for, you know, it's hitting you right in where it hurts, right in the pocketbook, right in the wallet, and you're a working American. You know, do you remember that slogan that the Democrat Communist Party loves to use, working Americans and working poor and working families? Well, working families can't afford this communist culture right now. They can't afford this anti-American movement that is being put forth by Joe Biden.
Yeah. We also can't forget that Russia seized Ukrainian territory before. This isn't new. When it annexed Crimea in 2014 after the country Crimea overthrew their pro-Moscow president.
So let me ask you this. I was reading some articles out of bigfootsplace.blogspot.com this weekend, and I'm looking for the story and I can't find it. But www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com, and one of the stories had that the problem with Ukraine also is that you have many pro-Russian individuals of pro-Russian citizens who don't like the Ukrainian government and are sympathetic to Putin and the Russian government. So this also lends this whole issue in Ukraine is very, very suspect.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have two main players. You've got Vladimir Zvikovich, who is the former deputy head of the Ukrainian National Security and Defense Council for allegedly working with Russian intelligence, and the other, Serhiy Arbuzov and Andiy Kluyev, who both served as deputy prime minister under Mr. Yanukovych. So these people, whether Russia would invade Ukraine or whether it would, it'd be a full-scale invasion. But there's a lot of propaganda coming from Russia trying to talk the whole thing down. So there isn't an invasion. And part of it, too, may be weather, because they're waiting for the cold weather where the ground will freeze and make it easier for an invasion militarily. But thanks to global warming, the ice has not formed, and it is still now it's all mushy mud, which is not ideal for invasion. Climate change gets into everything.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's screwing up wars. It's leading
to global warming.
Islamic craze. I mean, oh my God. Oh geez. I have to read you this. Holger sent this over. Where the heck is it? Here we go. In South Dakota, yeah, Governor Kristi Noem says transgender athlete bill is the strongest in the nation to protect women's sports. And this is from Fox News. Kristi Noem says a transgender athlete bill is the strongest in the nation. This is about making sure that our girls have chance to be successful. Republican Governor Kristi Noem said Sunday her bill was making its way through the South Dakota legislature aimed at protecting fairness in women's sports will be the strongest bill in the nation of its kind. This is about fairness. This is about making sure that our girls have a chance to be successful and to compete to win scholarships, potentially go on to play professional sports beyond that. We want them to have an opportunity to do that. Title IX fought for that years and years ago, and I've been doing this for years, which started, man, almost about 5 years ago in the sport of rodeo, where we protected girls' events, she continued. So now I'm bringing a bill to the legislature that will be the strongest bill in the nation, protecting fairness in girls' sports, and I'm hopeful that my legislators will support it. A South Dakota legislative committee on Friday approved a bill championed by Noem that limits collegiate and K through 12 participants to the sex identified on an athlete's birth certificate. If it passes the legislature, South Dakota will become the 10th state to ban transgender people from competing on teams that match their gender identity. This will be interesting. Now, isn't it interesting? South Dakota will become the 10th state. It's something you don't hear about, do you? You don't hear about the other 9 states that have adopted this.
No. No, you don't. Well, the other big bombshell, the CDC admits natural immunity superior to vaccinated immunity alone at preventing COVID hospitalizations and death. This was reported yesterday. And meanwhile, there's tens of thousands of people that have lost their jobs who refuse to get vaccinated. What about these people?
Exactly.
What happens to them? They're a minority. They're going to be let go and forgotten, and they'll be replaced. In another year, you won't hear anything more about them. And they'll just deal with the shortages at hospitals and doctors and emergency rooms, and they'll just ignore all that until they can recover. But it was all a big hoax. I tell you, I know a lot of people that got the vaccine and the boosters, and one of them said, no more boosters for me, I'm done. So they're very upset. But I tell you, if you got that vaccine, not because you wanted to, but because you felt like you were forced to from these mandates, you should be one very unhappy person right now. Because the CDC just said natural immunity is superior to vaccinated immunity. Period. Full stop. The purebloods are laughing right now. Those who did not get the vaccine were right all along. After 2 years of catching nothing but grief and being an outsider condemned by family and friends, and putting stresses on relationships. God.
Well, yeah, the goalposts keep moving. And what I find ironic is the timing of the CDC's release of information, because it was just, 10 days ago that the NCAA released their COVID protocol and stated that if you've had the China virus in the last 90 days and have the antibodies, you will be considered vaccinated. Now, how does the NCAA, for all their faults, how do they arrive at that conclusion? That liberal organization, how do they arrive at that? Isn't it funny that all of a sudden the CDC now changes their tune. And of course we know that, you know, Dementia Joe won't be, certainly will not, you know, echo that sentiment, but the CDC chair was a director was an appointed position by the president. So, you know, I don't know why he wouldn't embrace that decision. Then you have the president of Ghana now, aren't there some presidents or some countries now that are removing all mask mandates as a result of what's happening?
Well, yeah. In fact, there's one state they're giving the choice, but some states with their Marxist Democrat leadership, whether it be governor or even in the schools, they're trying to make that option. They're not enforcing it. They're not enforcing giving parents the right to mask or unmask their children. So they're defying governor orders. And it's this new governor that just came in, same thing. He's already run into a roadblock.
Oh, Governor Youngkin.
Correct.
In Virginia, yeah, because he removed all mask mandates, and the teachers' union said, we're not going to abide by it. So, okay, so why do you have state laws then?
Mm-hmm. Oh, did you hear the latest? You've heard of Peter Doocy. He is a Fox News White House correspondent. Well, two hours ago, the president of the United States just called Peter Doocy a stupid son of a bitch.
No. No.
That's reported from our very own Andrew Herod, who has a Friday show on our network.
Oh, my God. And you know what? I'm looking up in in Gateway, too. There's a story there, too. Whoa. So this afternoon, the unaware Dementia Joe Biden was caught on hot mic calling Fox News White House correspondent Peter Doocy a stupid son of a bitch at the conclusion of his press conference. As the room filled with White House correspondents cleared, Fox News Peter Doocy attempted to ask President Trump a final question. No. Oops. Must have been about inflation. From the back of the room, it's difficult to hear precisely what Doocy was saying as he was forced to wear a face mask. The camera moved to bumbling Joe Biden, who perhaps thought a fairy would turn off his mic as he mumbled a response to Doocy's question. That's a great asset, more inflation, Biden mumbled. What a stupid son of a bitch, Biden said as he shook his head and looked around the room. You know, isn't it ironic? This is the media who was so disrespectful to President Trump, but yet President Trump took each and every person's question, wasn't afraid to take the question, called out the news readers for asking a stupid question. But here you have someone who's been put in the White House, who is very much like Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, who considers you an opposition party member if you're opposing as the enemy, okay? And he calls a member of the free press a stupid son of a bitch. This is the president of the United States. It's shameful. It's shameful. I mean, this is what we are seeing in 12 short months come out of this White House is absolutely shameful, what we're seeing. Shameful.
Mm-hmm. Will the media come to Peter Doocy's defense? Most likely not.
Nope. Oh, they'll excuse it in some way, shape, or form. Well, you know, I think it was misunderstood what Mr. Biden heard and what was said on a hot mic and, oh, somebody needs to turn off his mic and all that. Yeah, that's fake news. And, oh, come on, man, I would never use that language. And, oh, yeah. Yeah, I can hear it. All the apologists come out.
Yeah. Now, President Trump, he called the news fake news, and he called the reporters to their faces. That is not a good question. That is fake news. And he would challenge them on their reporting and their questions directly. He never, I don't think he ever did that on a mic or during a press conference called another journalist a stupid son of a bitch, but he might have thought it, but he never said it. And that
right.
is, this is, as Andrew Herod reported, this is or should be a big deal.
Well, it should be a big deal.
Yeah, but didn't he make that big pledge when he first got elected that he would never say anything negative about another person in the course of politics or another person that working with inside a government or the other side of the aisle, and that he would fire anybody who spoke badly of another person? You remember that when he...
January 20th, 2021, and thank you again, Holger posted on Twitter, during a swearing-in ceremony for the White House staff, Joe Biden told employees he'd fire them on the spot if he heard they treated others with disrespect. And just a 1 year later, on a hot mic, Biden appears to have called Fox News reporter a stupid son of a bitch.
I'd say that's disrespectful.
I would say so, too.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that was very disrespectful. Again, here we have a media. Their First Amendment right of free press is being abridged by this yahoos in the White House, and there's no accountability for this action. You know, this is a man who's being thrust into a spotlight. The stress level is getting harder and harder on him. You've got the issues with Ukraine. You had what's happened the last 2 weeks actually unfold and really start wearing on his fragile skin. This man has some sort of dementia, some sort of mental cloud that is really starting to take effect, and the stress level is not good for him. And the powers to be want him to be front and center so he can appear to be presidential. He's anything but presidential. They installed a feckless little fraud, and little Joe Biden can't take it because it's the mental strain that is being imposed upon him. And you know, you can only hide in your basement for so long before you have to come out and start being presidential. You have international affairs that are going up in flames right around you. You botched Afghanistan. You're botching Ukraine. You know, you're botching energy issues in America. You're making America dependent upon foreign sources of oil, including OPEC. You're enriching Islamic states. You authorized the purchase of oil from the theocratic, you know, terrorist regime of Iran. And now you have a Ukrainian issue. You've lied about that. You've changed your story three or four times. And, you know, they're trying to put him out because he doesn't hold press conferences. He doesn't take questions because he can't. He doesn't have the ability to take questions. He doesn't have the mindset to take questions. He has a mental issue. Besides that, he's a chronic liar. And he's, you know, he's ill-tempered. He has a short fuse. And he's just unbelievable. He's the master of sound bites and slogans. And you can't get by these press conferences with sound bites and meaningless slogans. And it's exactly what we have with the Democrat Communist Party today. It's in a free fall. The party is really starting to fracture, and this guy can't hold it up. And I don't know. Maybe the powers to be that are pulling the puppet strings of Joe Biden want this guy to crack and break down. But his wife should be slapped for elder abuse. Seriously, I mean, you know, I mean, we've worked with Alzheimer's people, and it's just classic. What we're seeing out of Dementia Joe right now is dementia, and he's becoming more and more angry as the stress level increases. He can't take it.
Yeah. But there is some good news.
What?
The good news is that the James T. Webb satellite has reached its destination at the L2 Lagrange point, and a Lagrange point are positions in space where objects sent there tend to stay put. At Lagrange points, the gravitational pull of two large masses precisely equals the centripetal force required for a small object to move with them. These points in space can be used by spacecraft to reduce fuel consumption. And what this means is that the space telescope has found the optimal point between the sun and the Earth to have in orbit, so it'll stay out of the Earth's shadow. And for the next 20 years or so, once they get the mirrors properly aligned within nanometers, they'll be able to see our universe as it has never been seen before. So this is a big day for you astronomy buffs out there. Congratulations to NASA on this monumental engineering and space success.
Yeah, really. Wow. That is kind of cool,
stuff.
Yeah, it is.
All you high school students, study your math, study your physics, don't be a douche.
Hey, it's all up in the air right now with astronomy, so.
Totally.
The sky's the limit.
I'll make you a star. I'll make you a star.
Ooh. Well, hey, speaking of making stars, as Paul Sutliff pointed out earlier, check out Eric from Kafiristan's show tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, The Crossing the Crescent, and also check him out on YouTube. So it should be an interesting a show, especially with David Wood debating a Muslim. Wednesday, Hank Jones and Poly Sports at 5:30 Eastern Time. Thursday, Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report. He's also the author of The Cancer of Civilization Jihad, which we talked about earlier today on the show. Friday is Andrew Harrod with Conservative Casual Friday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Check out Andrew's articles in Jihad Watch as well. Saturday, Minister Osama Dakdak and a beautiful Christie revealing the truth about Islam, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And Sunday, Eric from Kafiristan is back with the real interfaith dialogue with Radio Free Kafiristan, or the Crossing the Crescent, excuse me. And Monday, Al and I will be back with Mama Mia, no Sharia. Other shows on Blog Talk Radio to listen to, G-Ski and Dave, Airwaves America, Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on BTR, and keep G-Ski in your prayers. Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio, and her sidekick, Curtis C.S. Bennett, Friday afternoons, 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and Annie's in the room, too. Keith, Simple Facts of Life, Tuesdays, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, and back after a brief respite. For the holiday break, for Christmas break, excuse me, you're getting that, is a Simone Nicole show. Joshua's on Wednesday evenings, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Spreaker.com, Spreaker.com. Of course, Saturday, you've got RZ's show on Spreaker.com, so Spreaker's a busy station. And then Thursday evenings from 8 p.m. At 8 p.m. Eastern Time is Aunt Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio. Go to AudreyRusso.com. She has got a great show with great guests. Al, give us some party shots.
We'll see you next Monday, and don't forget to cancel your Ukraine winter vacation before it's too late. Adios, amigos.
You know what goes with Mama Mia?
For what is a man?
It got Crimea Mia. Crimea Mia. Gotta get Crimea. Hey, we still got time. I want to say thank you to everybody in the chat room. Bigfoot, our big patriot, www.bigfootplace.blogspot.com. Bring it on, boys. Ducky Northwest, Hank Jones, Poly Sports, Southern Sense Talk Radio, Annie, the Alaskan Boyd. Movie was in the chat room earlier. Good to see him. Paul Sutton was in the room. And, of course, our own Sue from New Mexico. Sue, thank you, and hope you're doing well. Ladies and gentlemen, be safe out there. Be aware of your surroundings. And thank you for joining us this evening. Look forward to your following the Global Patriot Radio Network. Good night, folks. God bless.
It was my way.
Ciao. Right on a button. Ah, look at that. And I just got down to my last part of my espresso.
Oh, outstanding. Two big glasses of coffee today for this show.
A little scratchy here. Hey, that was interesting about LaGrange points.
Oh, I love that kind of stuff. I think it is so cool. Somehow,
you know,
I mean, there are a lot of smart people out there. I mean, how do you find that point between the sun and earth that is just the right place where it's close enough you can transmit information and far enough to get out of the shadow of earth? And it's about a million miles away, roughly. Cool stuff. I mean, I don't understand it all, but I think it's very cool.
Well, you know, my brother-in-law, who's a geoscience and all that stuff, and you know, he's the one where I learned about a little bit more about the climate change issue. And he goes, you know, until you can regulate and manipulate the sun, you can't change the sun. And the sun controls the climate and the climate change, whether it's sunspots or solar flares. And so I'm wondering if in fact the LaGrange, they found this point, right? So are they going to be able to better monitor the sun for solar flares and sunspots to hopefully predict more accurately possible weather patterns and take a closer look at weather?
Could be. I never thought of that, but yeah, that would make perfect sense.
See, that's what tells me that this whole look. Hey, is it good to, you know, don't dump stuff in the middle of the street? I agree wholeheartedly. Okay, don't contaminate the waterways by dumping your oil after changing oil into water. You know, all the practical stuff. But man, is it going to change? Man, is an infinitesimal decimal, you know, point, you know, 1 billionth. After that point of a problem on this environment. And when you have the United States of America being held to a higher standard than four other polluters in the world, including Russia, China, and India, something's wrong there. Something is definitely wrong. You know, we're not going to build any more coal-fired plants in the United States because it's environmentally wrong. But in the meantime, the Japs are building, you know, 11 more coal-fired plants. India is putting in 250 more. China's building 150 to 280 more, you know, coal-fired plants. And you're telling us in America that we have to fork over more to a clean, to a Green New Deal because of climate change? In the meantime, the coal fire plants are being built around the world, except for the United States, and we have the cleanest coal fire plants in the world, for crying out loud. Give me a break.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, no, I mean, they want to close down these coal plants, and they want to go all solar. But what do you do when there's bad weather? And solar's unpredictable, then they have to fire up the coal plants in order to make up for the shortage.
Exactly.
You need both. Yeah.
You know, you live in the Northeast, and in the wintertime, every day's not a sunny day.
No.
God. We're being duped on so many levels, and it's I hate this globalist movement, you know, and now they're distracting with this transgender stuff. We're being distracted with, you know, women's rights. How long in the 80s and the 90s of women's rights, and the Republican gets elected into the president, women's rights, and Trump gets elected, and they're holding these women's rights. But I am for women's rights, you know, women's rights, and wear your vagina hat. You walk around and Trump is bad. Trump's this. And then all of a sudden we have real women's rights abuses occurring right now. And these same women who were donning their pussy hats are gone. They're gone.
Mm-hmm.
the useless nations, doesn't say a damn word about what's happening and the abuse that women are experiencing in Saudi Arabia. Nobody said nothing. So this is a scam by the left wing. I mean, this destructive Democrat Party is scamming people on all levels under every freaking issue, including women's rights, including energy, including the Ukraine, including economy. And I mean, you name it, and they're scamming the American people.
Yeah. Well, one thing they got right is now they've got four satellites that are in orbit 22,000 miles above Earth's surface. And these satellites, their purpose is to track other space objects below them. And okay. They can also fly to other satellites to look at the satellite and see what's going on with it, which is great because I think our next war is going to be up in space with these laser, offensive satellites with offensive military capabilities, whether it be lasers or anything else. So I thought that was kind of a cool story too.
Well, the Russians kind of prompted that thought, didn't they, when they blew up that satellite with that space debris?
Nearly took out the space station. Yeah. Yeah, I remember we talked about that because all the astronauts had to go into their escape modules in case the station got hit by this debris traveling 22,000 miles an hour or something.
Oh my God!
Talk about a brave new world. This is it.
It is. It really is. I don't know. I'll tell you this. This whole thing is just, it's really suspect what we're seeing. And that Gateway Pundit article is funny. I just, with regards to Ukraine and about it being a distraction,
mm-hmm.
I just,
yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And now they're reporting stories in some of these military magazines. Because once they report a story, it's already been out for a couple of years, whatever they're talking about. But now multiple drone attacks, we're talking 100 drones, can all work together like we've seen in some of these sci-fi movies, where they can have 100 drones work in concert to attack a target. So, you know, I mean, I'm sure it's been out there for years, but now they're really starting to report that it's real.
Well, wasn't there a drone attack by the Houthis in the United Arab Emirates? So
took out a UAE tank oil facility.
Yeah.
Well, and now Saudi Arabia has been bombing the crap out of Yemen, which is good. Or else we've probably been bombing the crap out of Yemen with our people over there flying our equipment in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, true that, right?
I don't know that to be true,
no,
and it's probably
true.
Not, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's really, I'm telling you, man, it's just, what we're seeing happen today is just incredible, man.
Well, it's perceived weakness, I think, that all our adversaries are starting to test the perimeter.
Yeah.
And we haven't even talked about Taiwan.
Oh.
Oh, come on, you're China? It's like, hey, now's a great time because Biden's not going to do anything. We got the goods on him, too.
Yeah, you see, this is what's amazing, Al. You know, you had a mission to first of all, get rid of Trump. And that was the mission from January 20, 2017. But the idea is to get rid of him. And then the next step is, once you get rid of him, is to undo everything Trump did. And undo everything that Trump did, and it leads to the aggression we're seeing today, because they knew that they were, you know, they knew, Russia knew where they stood with Trump. China knew where they stood with Trump. China certainly didn't like where they stood with Trump. hence, you know, the release of the plandemic. Did I say that out loud? And you can't tell me that this isn't planned. There's no way that you're that inept to undo what was working. The border control was working. The U.S. southern border control was working to the point where you didn't have the mass overruns of the border. The border patrol agents had things in check. You didn't have the drugs that are killing our kids being poured over the border. You didn't have the drug cartels and the smugglers with human trafficking over the border. And then in just 3 short months, the border is in utter and total chaos. And you have a man and a woman in the White House who ignore it. I'm amazed. I'm literally amazed as how they ignore the situation unfolding. It's just like Jerry Nadler stating to that, who was it, to the James O'Keefe person that what you're seeing in the Pacific Northwest is a myth. 93 days in Portland fires, the city under siege, federal buildings burned, and what we saw there is a myth. And so you have Biden and Harris completely ignoring the southern border and then leveling charges against American citizens who are unvaccinated and blaming them for the rise in the China virus, when in fact now we've got, at least 2.3 million illegal aliens have entered the United States. We don't know if they're vaccinated. We don't know if they're infected. As a matter of fact, some are infected. That's been proven by the border agents. They are infected. They are unvaccinated, and they're pouring through. And not only that, they're getting plane tickets that's funded by the Biden-Harris administration to fly into cities and towns across America.
Mm-hmm.
And we're supposed to look the other way. No, I don't believe this is accidental. No one can be that stupid and inept. I'm sorry. The mission was to get rid of Trump because he was too American. He believed in the United States of America and the American people, and the American people were becoming empowered. They were living the freedoms and liberties that were bestowed upon them by our founders, and now we're paying dearly and threatened. You're going to lose your job if you don't get vaccinated. You're going to lose your job if you don't get tested. But the government's going to forgive your student loans, and the government's going to, you know, give you that, and the government's going to get, and you know what? Did you get your free COVID test kits? You can get 4 or 2 or 1 per family. Why? Why do I want a COVID test kit if I don't have any symptoms? Why do I want to go get tested if I don't get it, if I'm okay? Oh my God.
That's a good point. I think they want, this is what they want. They're getting everything that they wanted.
Yep.
They don't, and that's the Marxist part of it. This is what they want. We think it's crazy and messed up. We think it's going in a bad direction, but there's people that think this is the direction to go, and the ship is finally righting itself.
I would
love for one of these people to call into the show and have a discussion about it, because I would sure love to hear what's going on inside of their brain.
And you have doctors losing their job, medical practitioners losing their job.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, for speaking out and doing their Hippocratic oath and trying, you know, using therapeutics and using alternative means to treat people, and they're losing their job.
Doctors.
Wow. Doctors. Oh my God. Jeez. And now they're mandating that kids under the age of 12 get the China virus vaccine, and how many, and I keep reading about seven-year-olds, it seems like that's a magic number, seven-year-olds having massive heart attacks and dying after getting the China virus vaccine.
Kid?
Wow.
I haven't heard anything about that.
Oh, Belly sent me one in Australia. A seven-year-old dies after being given the China virus vaccine. Spain, seven-year-old dies. In Europe, seven-year-old died. I mean, it's like that's like the number now of like 7 and 4-year-olds who are getting the China virus vaccine are dying from heart attacks. Heart attacks.
Holy.
One country suspended giving children under the age of 12 or 15. They suspended any vaccine requirements for children under the age of 12, at least. Maybe it was under the age of 18. Yeah, they're having heart attacks and dying. Wow.
Boy, that's hell, we've been talking this for years.
Yeah.
Not a good idea.
Not a good idea. Wow. I didn't watch any of the NFL games, but I understand that Tampa Bay lost, and it could be Brady's last game.
I didn't hear that about Brady after the loss. I know, yeah. I mean, it was a loss, and I guess I didn't know that he was going to quit.
I don't know.
Got another couple of years left in him. I don't know.
I thought so too. I thought he was. I thought he had till age 45. He said he was playing, but I don't know how old he is.
Interesting.
I gotta read you this. I love Monica Crowley. Oh my God! Uh-huh. She responded to the Peter Ducey Biden calling Peter Ducey a stupid son of a bitch. Monica Crowley tweeted out, "Biden has always been a dick." Oh, I love her. I love Monica Crowley.
I've got new respect for her. That's awesome.
She is a woman that I would love to sit down and talk to. Monica Crowley was Richard Nixon's secretary or something, or aide early on in her political career.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to sit down and talk to her about Richard Nixon. I really would. I found Nixon fascinating for some reason. I like the guy, but I would love to talk to her about Nixon.
She looks too young. I just pulled up her her Twitter page, and she looks too young to be
she's
with
gorgeous.
Nixon.
Yeah, she is.
Beautiful.
She's been around a long time in politics, and that's what a classic tweet. So. Biden's always
Biden.
Been a dick.
Biden, simultaneously demented and assholic.
Oh, my God. How sad. Man, you know.
Assholic. Did you see the one right below it?
No. I gotta, let me go to her page. Hold on a second. Simultaneous demented and assholic. Oh, my God. Oh, she is great. Oh, that's funny. Well, she won't be on Fox News anymore. Hey.
I don't know.
Somebody...
Did you hear with OAN? They're OAN's getting canceled off of
DirecTV.
Yeah, DirecTV.
Yep. Owned by who? AT&T, which used to own what? CNN.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. You know, it's not good. I don't know. You know, how is this going to be corrected? You know, you're going to get some vanilla milquetoast Republican in as Speaker of the House, probably Kevin McCarthy. You know, you need somebody who's going to be a strong leader. That's why I choose. I would hope that if there's a new wave, a big crop of Republicans elected, they nominate and appoint Donald Trump as Speaker of the House, and you watch how quickly things change.
That would be very cool, and it could be done.
Yes. That would be really cool.
That would be so fantastic.
Get DeSantis and Noam as president and vice president, Trump as Speaker of the House. You want to talk about smaller government? You want to talk about less spending? It'll happen.
Wow.
You want single-issue bills that come right to the floor? Single-issue bills, not 3,000 pages of, of $1.5 trillion spending, $3.4 trillion spending.
From your mouth to God's ears.
I know. That would be a wish. All right.
We'll see. You have a good evening. Great show.
Thank you. You too. Have a good evening. And Sue, have a nice evening. And thank you for joining
us.
God bless you. And stay warm tomorrow, Darrell.
You too. And
thank you.
Sue, have a great week. We love you. And we'll see you next Monday.
That's all, folks.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Music Block Talk Radio. Goodbye.